This podcast is supported by JBS International Incorporated through a grant award from the Health Resources and Services Administration, HRSA, of the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, HHS, with 0% finance with non-governmental sources. The contents are those of the author and do not necessarily represent the official views of, nor an endorsement, by HRSA, HHS, or the U.S. government. For more information, please visit HRSA.gov.
Welcome into another episode of Rural Roads, the R-Corps podcast. I'm your host, Tim Rabel, with JBS International. Before we jump to today's episode, a few R-Corps TA reminders. Have you visited the R-Corps TA portal recently? Hopefully, that answer is yes, because it is the best way to stay up to date with all the latest and greatest R-Corps resources, info, and other opportunities. From the portal, you can dive into various toolkits or templates, engage with different learning modules on the LMS, visit our core corner and read past newsletters, rewatch past webinars, you get the idea. Also, be sure to connect with our core TA on social media. You can find us on Facebook, X, and Instagram. And now, let's get to today's episode.
Okay. Welcome into another episode of Rural Roads, the R Corps podcast. I'm your host, Tim Rabel, and today we're joined by Ray Antonacci, Chief Administrator for the Lincoln County Ambulance District. Thanks so much for joining.
Thank you, Tim.
As I mentioned, he's with Lincoln County Ambulance District. They're one of the overdose response grantees. R Corps overdose response has the purpose of addressing immediate needs in rural areas by improving access to, capacity for, and sustainability of prevention, treatment, and recovery services for substance use disorder. As folks know, at JBS, we have a bunch of technical expert leads on staff that work with grantees like Ray throughout the country. And one of the tells actually brought a really unique story to my attention and connected me with Ray and Felicia here to learn a little bit more and hear the story. And we thought it'd just be a perfect kind of podcast episode to capture what happened and learn a little bit more about some of the outcomes and how it all unfolded. Ray, I was wondering if you could give a summary or share your kind of perspective on what exactly happened with that call, and then we'll dive into some of the other questions.
Yeah, you bet. So it's a unique call. Lincoln County Ambulance District has always been one of those districts that just responds. And we are, over the last couple of years, gotten more and more into harm reduction. And with that, we are now being a little bit more proactive with the things that we're doing with harm reduction and helping people get into treatment and stuff like that. This particular case, I was sitting with another crew member at a base when a call goes out for a person down in a yard. The secondary dispatch information said that there were bystanders that saw him go down in his yard, but were afraid to approach. So there was no CPR in progress or like that. We ended up having a ambulance not too far away. They responded. I looked over at the crew member that I was sitting with and asked him if he wanted to respond also. So we jumped into my staff vehicle and we responded over to that call. When we got there, the ambulance was on scene, police were on scene, and the patient was awake, groggy, looked like he had just been woken up by Narcan. And as I'm watching my crew members evaluate and assess, I started asking what happened to the police officers. Police officer tells me that as she was approaching the patient, the bystander who lives in an apartment right near him, she came running out with a box of Narcan and said, "Hey, I have this, but I don't know how to use it." So the police officer just grabbed the box, opened it up, gave the Narcan to the patient who had stopped breathing at this point, and woke him up. By the time our ambulance crew arrived, the patient was starting to come around. They sat him up, and they started doing their assessment. What's very cool about this, sounds like it's just a normal Narcan wake-up call by a police officer, which most all of our police officers carry Narcan. What's unique about this particular case is that a bystander had a box of Narcan that they gave over to the police officer. Now, the bad part is that the bystander said she didn't know how to use it. However, the good part was that she had it. So this patient was then assessed by our crew. They were given a leave-behind kit. The patient refused to go to the hospital. They were given a leave-behind kit, which included Narcan and pamphlets on recovery. And then we went over and we were able to replace the Narcan that the bystander had and also educate her on how to use it. Like I said, Lincoln County has always been just your typical 911 ambulance service. You call, we respond. And now we've been getting out in the community over the last couple of years, doing more CPR classes that include Narcan administration. And now with this grant, we're able to give Narcan to bystanders that have used the Narcan, like in this case. I think it's a fantastic use of this grant. And I think it puts an exclamation mark on why this is needed in rural communities so that we can hold these programs. We can have people come out, learn how to use Narcan, have it in their possession. And then hopefully the next time the bystander will feel comfortable giving the Narcan.
Yeah. No, that's great. And then you mentioned that the bystander wasn't initially comfortable, but would you say that they felt more comfortable when the police were already there? Is that when they seemed to approach and, you know, mention that they had Narcan on them?
Yeah, that's exactly right. Yeah. Once the police officers arrived, the bystander felt perfectly comfortable going out and giving the police officers the Narcan. The fact that she didn't know how to use it and said and made a comment, right, don't know how to use this, concerns us a little bit. But I don't mind that a bystander doesn't feel comfortable approaching a stranger that she thinks may have overdosed. However, I do want her to understand that she could have this in her possession and be able to use it if a family member were to go out or a friend.
Yeah, and still collectively a community-wide step in the right direction compared to years past and everything. You mentioned most of the police carry Narcan as well.
Yeah, so we have some grants in our area that allow for our police officers, our fire departments to carry Narcan. And basically, we have enough Narcan through these grants that we can give them to any first responder, including volunteers that want to carry it.
Great. Zooming out a little bit, how often would you say that as a chief, you're responding to calls like that?
Not very often at all. I'm kind of a desk guy. I'm not on the street as much as I used to be. I do have a staff vehicle that I respond to calls with that I'm closest to, or in this case, that sounds interesting and I'm not in the middle of a meeting. And in this particular case, I was with another crew member, so I was able to take him out to that call. So I don't really respond out to these very often. So the fact that I was able to respond out to this one and see the results of our programs really excites me.
Yeah, absolutely. How would you describe maybe the challenges and benefits of being a chief who has to also juggle running ambulance calls on top of all the other kind of duties on your plate?
There's a lot of challenges to it. Probably the biggest challenge is when I'm driving my staff vehicle, if I'm the closest to a call, I should and morally should respond to that call, which makes me late to meetings sometimes. But I have to just juggle that. If I'm not going to be the closest unit, and I know another ambulance, if an ambulance is closer or the fire department is closer to that person, then I can continue on to the meeting or whatever else that I'm attending to from a chief's standpoint. But as an old medic, I do miss those calls.
Sure. Yeah.
Go.
Yeah, no, that makes sense. So you talked a little bit different kind of agencies and representation on the scene. How would you describe training that you offer? I think you mentioned fire and police have their own resources separate. Is that right?
Yeah, so we're all different agencies. Police are their own agency. Fire is their own agency. And EMS in our area is an ambulance district. So we're our own agency. However, we do offer a multitude of classes through our training division, and anything from bystander, CPR, heart saver type of AJ classes to classes for paramedics, EMT, anybody in our community that wants to take a class. We just held a class for our health department in CPR. So we do a lot of outreach in our community to not only do CPR and things like that, but blood pressure checks. We just held a distribution point in one of our small towns at the food pantry. And as people were going through the food pantry, they're able to come by and see us and get their blood pressure taken and then hear about our programs and get Narcan if they wanted it.
Yeah. Yeah. How does the community feel overall? What's your sense of the kind of collective pulse around the harm reduction strategies for opioid overdose in general?
I think a couple of years ago, I didn't get a really good feeling about it. Every time I would bring it up, I would get a lot of negative reactions about it, thinking that Narcan enabled addicts and things like that. But over the last couple of years, we've really been doing a lot of outreach. And I just recently went to a city council meeting, and I talked about distribution boxes being placed in their community. And they unanimously voted to do on their in their city park, and they were all on board. They had questions, obviously, yeah. But I was able to answer their questions about the possibility of kids getting a hold of Narcan or something like that. But other than that, I got a really good reaction from them.
Yeah, that's great to hear. When did you say that was, or do you feel like there's been a...
Yeah, that was a couple weeks ago.
Okay, gotcha. Yeah. So this shift is still ongoing in a way. And you mentioned prioritizing the community education, like institutional buy-in from certain leaders in the communities. That all kind of sound on the right track in terms of some of those outreach goals separate from some of the other pieces you've mentioned.
Yeah. So getting that outreach to the leaders in the community is what's important. There's the aldermen and the mayors and all the chiefs in the area that we get the messaging out to. We've got all that buy-in. And then you have to reach out to the Rotary clubs and the Lions clubs and stuff like that, and really get to the heart of the leaders of the community and answer their questions and make sure that they understand how important it is to how important harm reduction is. We could do it 70 times and that person might go to rehab and it might stick. Mm-hmm. But anyway, yeah, getting to the leaders to get the word out is what's important.
Yeah. Could you walk us, like, for EMS, how is it actually being, like, how are they assessing and treating patients who have overdosed on opioids? What's the protocol process that they follow, if that makes sense?
Yeah, so the paramedics are pretty highly trained in pre-hospital medicine. We can recognize the signs and symptoms anywhere from the what we call a doorway assessment. When we hip to the doorway, we can look in the room and assess our environment. Is the person down on the floor? Are they alert, oriented? Are they conscious? Are they breathing? What kind of paraphernalia is around? Is there paraphernalia? That might indicate to us that there might be some kind of drug use going on. Start asking bystanders what happened. And we start narrowing it down. And depending on their age and everything, we start narrowing these things down. And we do a basic assessment at the same every time, looking for opening the airway, breathing, circulation, all that kind of good stuff. And if they're not breathing, but they don't need CPR, they have a pulse, we start ruling out different reasons why this could possibly happen. And if we can't think of any other reason, and it might be an opioid, we give the Narcan. We breathe for them with what's called a back valve mask. We'll breathe for them. We'll give them the Narcan. And if they don't wake up, we just continue down our path of trying to diagnose what may be going on. If they do wake up, we've got an idea of what it might be. Especially when bystanders sometimes lie and they don't tell you that what's been going on. Sometimes they think they were smoking meth and it's laced with fentanyl. And they'll swear to you that I only smoke meth. I only do this certain kind of drug. And all these things, marijuana included, could be laced with an opioid like fentanyl. And they wouldn't, they don't know. Sometimes they don't even know themselves until they wake up from Narcan. We tell them they've overdosed on an opioid and they swear they've not done an opioid. So, Narcan is an assessment tool in a way.
Yeah. I appreciate you providing that kind of insight, and I really appreciate all the work you all are doing. It's a lot, but truly, literally life-saving in many ways. I know you mentioned, aside from education you're offering to patient, a family, bystanders, you have the new mobile integrated health program. Is that correct?
Yeah. Yeah. Because of this grant, we're able to put together or help build our mobile integrated health program, which are specially trained community paramedics. And they're trained in behavioral health, substance use disorders, opioid use disorders, plus a myriad of other chronic illness and disease processes. And because of the grant, we were able to purchase a vehicle that allows us to put a MIH medic into that vehicle. It's a Dodge Durango. And they are able to go around and make appointments. They're able to see patients. If somebody refuses to go to the hospital, we'll ask them if they'd like to get some help. If they decide to, we'll enroll them in our program. And we'll send MIH medics out to help them. We're working on MAT, or medically assisted treatment. So there's a lot going on. We're also working with our jail. Our sheriff here in town has a no deaths vision for his jail, And we're right on board with him. And we're going to try to help him meet his vision by trying to help assess patients that are coming in, or detainees that are coming in with opioid use disorders, and assist them in getting them to treatment while still in jail.
Ray, could you talk a bit about the peer support specialist that you all have on the EMS response team? We heard about that from Felicia and sounded pretty innovative and could be impactful. So anything you're able to speak to there would be awesome to hear about.
Oh, yeah. In addition to our mobile integrated health medics, or our CPs, community paramedics, we are also employing a peer support specialist who is able to go out and see patients on their level. Sometimes it's difficult to talk to someone who has an addiction issue if you've never experienced it. We have a peer support specialist who's has been through the addiction process, the recovery process, and knows what it's like, and they can speak on a more of a one-on-one type of term. And I think it's been fantastic so far. The few patients that we've met with, our peer support specialist is a paramedic, and he's completed a state certification in peer support specialist. Everybody is certified. We also, by the way, have two community health workers that we employ that are paramedics and their community health workers. So if people need resource guidance, we're able to help them with that also.
Well, that's all great to hear. Thank you again for making the time to, out of your busy schedule, everything going on, to come and share the story and all the different work you all are doing. It's impactful and impressive, and really appreciate you making the time to join.
Well, thank you. I appreciate you having us on.
That was Ray Antonacci, Chief Administrator for the Lincoln County Ambulance District and ARCOR Overdose Response Grantee. Appreciate you, Ray, making the time. And for those listening, we thank you for tuning in. We'll see you next time.